afternoon, everyone. My name is Juan Gaitán, and I'm the Head of Investor Relations at Cellnex. I'm joined today by José Manuel Aisa, CFO and M&A Director, who will lead today's presentation. I would like to thank you all for joining us today for Cellnex Q1 2016 Results Conference Call. We have earlier today posted a presentation, which we will refer to throughout our prepared remarks, under the Investor Relations section on our website, and then we'll open the line for a Q&A session. So now I'll hand over to José Manuel. Please, José Manuel.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for your time today. And please allow me to start by highlighting the main milestones of the period. So page 4 of the presentation. Today we are presenting again a solid set of results that confirm our cash flow visibility. Our recurring leveraged free cash flow for the period has been slightly above the market expectations. We continue to be in a privileged position to capture future organic growth opportunities. We are the natural candidate to consolidate the European tower landscape. Also, all uncertainties around the broadcasting business have been completely removed. And finally, we are glad to announce that our bond is now eligible for the European Central Bank purchase program of corporate bonds. Moving now to the next slide. In terms of activities, we have managed to increase the number of POPs by 1% compared to December 2015. We are also paving the way for future organic growth by signing contracts in the small cell areas and distributed antenna systems in tunnels. We are also analyzing new DAS projects to be installed in shopping centers and car parks. We continue to pursue rationalization projects with mobile operators, and we are working hard to announce an agreement in the short term. We are also assessing the possibility to invest in fiber pop-calling to the tower for our customers, and this analysis is today showing a very good progress. Finally, we are constantly engaging in conversation with other clients to assess the potential to improve their coverage, which have resulted in new framework agreements signed. In the broadcasting area, we can confirm that all uncertainties have been completely removed, that the retendering process of 6 new TV channels have been successfully completed, with all channels today broadcasting, thus providing a stable revenue platform going forward. In the network services and other area, we have also seen a strong performance thanks to the connectivity business. We have also managed to extend our IoT network in Spain with around 170 additional sites. And we have won several PPTR contracts for transport and utilities applications. In the smart cities area, we have submitted 2 proposals in the context of the binding procedures opened by the Spanish government. On top of this, we keep analyzing opportunities to continue creating value for our shareholders. And one example is our efficiency program. In this context, we are making good progress on the ground lease front by approaching our landlords with proposals to renegotiate terms and cash advance. Turning to slide number 6, you can see here the evolution of POPs and our resulting consolidated tenancy ratio, with the impact of organic growth explaining the changes. We have managed to add more than 200 POPs in the period, reaching a tenancy ratio of 1.54. On the next chart, we explain in detail the performance of telecom share rental business in terms of revenues, and you can see how the existing asset base contributes 2 million euros to our consolidated figures, while the change of perimeter adds 54 million in the period. Moving now to adjusted EBITDA, you can see the negative impact of DTT simulcast, which was a one-off positive effect last year. This impact is more than offset by the contribution of inorganic and organic growth, with also the positive contribution of organic growth of 2.5 million euros in this quarter. Let me now explain in detail our recurrent levered free cash flow generation in the quarter. Slide 7. I would like to start by highlighting that recurrent levered free cash flow in the period has increased 14%. Looking now to revenues, Telecom rental increases mainly due to a strong organic growth and acquisitions. The broadcasting business is no longer reflecting the simulcast carry out in 2015, and network services and others show a strong increase, mainly due to a high activity in the connectivity business. Moving to OpEx, we have a very well-contained cost base with a flat performance on a like-for-like basis. Increase shown is mainly due to costs directly associated with our recent acquisitions. Our adjusted EBITDA for the quarter reaches 63.5 million euros, in line with our full year guidance and showing a strong 26% increase when compared to last year. Our working capital change remains positive thanks to our strict management, although we expect this to be neutral at year-end, in line with our full year guidance. Interest paid reflect our current capital structure with the first coupon associated with our bond due in July, and tax paid reflect the implementation of tax management measures, as well as the tax regular payment schedule. Maintenance CapEx will be catching up during the year to reach normalized levels in line with our guidance. Non-M&A expansion CapEx includes the first step of our efficiency program with 6 million euros associated with cash advances. As a result, you can see that our recurrent levered free cash flow represents 66 million euros compared to our adjusted EBITDA of 63 million euros, which means a conversion ratio of more than 100%. Moving now to slide number 8. Our balance sheet and concerning our leverage, we can say that it has decreased to 3.6 times in terms of net debt annualized EBITDA, which is below our long-term leverage target ratio of 4 times net debt EBITDA. Our total net debt, as you can see in this slide, is 901 million euros, with our bond accounting for most of the debt. When assessing the change in the net debt, it needs to be taken into account that in January, we paid the second tranche of the last towers acquired from Telefónica back in January 2015. Coming back to the remaining lines of our income statement, depreciation and amortization charges, these increase mainly as a result of our recent acquisitions. Finally, Cellnex net profit reaches 11 million euros with increased revenues partly offset by depreciation charges. Moving to slide 9, the assumptions behind our financial outlook for the full year 2016 are still valid. We believe that we can provide a recurrent levered free cash flow that will exceed 10%, higher than in 2015, which is in line with market expectations. Looking at the different contribution lines, also the same assumptions apply for each of them, confirming the high visibility of our business. Finally, slide 10 and 11. These two slides should be taken together. So let me finish the presentation by sharing with you why we believe Cellnex is an attractive investment opportunity. From the current operation perspective, Cellnex is a company with solid fundamentals that provides cash flow visibility and organic growth optionality, leveraging our future revenues streams. But also, on the slide 11, we can see that thanks to a flexible balance sheet, strict investment criteria, and the independence of a neutral operator like Cellnex, we are in a privileged position to consolidate the European tower landscape. It is also important to highlight the current low interest rate environments as a consequence of the recent purchase programs announced by the European Central Bank, from which we can benefit by obtaining very attractive financing rates for future expansion. So in a nutshell, Cellnex today is a combination of a strong generator of visible cash flows with, I would say, optionality in terms of M&A and organic growth. Everything together, I would say, an attractive valuation as of today.
Thank you, José Manuel. With this, I would like to open the line to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. There will be a short silence while questions are being registered. Thank you. First question comes from Simon Coles from Barclays. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for taking the questions. Could you give us an update on the INWIT bid, if there's any news to share? Then secondly, around TESS infrastructure unit, did you have any chance to purchase the towers from Telefónica Deutschland, or was that always going to be an intracompany transaction, so to speak? And then also regarding TESS infrastructure unit, what is the profile of the towers there? I assume mainly urban, so there's not much overlap with your towers. And how come you haven't had a chance to bid for these towers? Because you've clearly been a willing buyer of towers from TESS in the past. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Simon. Could you please repeat your third question, please?
The third one?
Yes, the last one.
Yeah. Could you give us information about the tower profile of TESS infrastructure unit? I'm assuming they're quite urban and not rural. And why have you not had a chance to, say, buy the towers outright, as you've been such a willing buyer of towers from TESS in the past?
So you're referring to Telxius, to the asset profile of the Telefónica infrastructure unit?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Let's just start with the first question regarding, well, you know, and this is very according to the best public information, so we present a binding offer some weeks ago, and this binding offer, I think that somehow we have received feedback from the seller explaining to us different points that we think we should amend. And right now we're working on these points, and hopefully we should receive next step by the seller. But I can tell you that the company, Cellnex, in this case, has been sensitive to all the points that the seller is highlighting us, and we are looking forward to receiving the next steps. Also, it is true that we cannot stay here with an offer of very high quantum of money open for a long period of time, because you know that we are confident and we are based on key 12 banking institutions that also have their own committees and they also have their own, deadlines. But we are
looking forward to receiving next steps and to present, hopefully, our very best offer. We do think that at the end of the day, Simon, we expect the position from the board of Telecom Italia. This is what we are looking forward to. The next two questions were regarding, I think, Telxius. The first was regarding this today new that has been released in Telxius, and I would say Telefonica Deutschland. It seems to me, I only have the public information, that is an intercompany transaction, and I cannot assess it at all. I have the same information you have. It seems that Telxius is putting together a bunch of assets from different countries and from different, I would say, sectors of activity, but I cannot comment. I wish I could, but I can't. Mm-hmm. And your last question, sorry, but maybe I didn't capture very well. I think it was the rural towers
of
Telxius.
The different profile. On this, Simon, unfortunately, the answer we can provide is exactly the same.
Yes.
We are following the developments on the press, so we really lack information on the asset profile of Telxius.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Simon.
Next question comes from Pedro Oliveira from BPI. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. My first question is regarding the towers that to be decommissioned that you are in final negotiations. You no longer mentioned the 2,000 towers that you have been mentioned in the past two quarters. I was wondering if something changed here, if we are talking about a different figure now. If you could enlighten us, this would be okay. My second question was if you could clarify how much was the payment to TEF in January that you just mentioned on your presentation. And also, a final word is, could you give us some more color on why you think UK is one of the best countries right now to grow inorganically? Thank you.
No, fine. Let me start with question one and three, and then I will ask you again for question two, because I have not been able to follow in detail. But question one is regarding the number of towers to be decommissioned. Yes, it's the same number of towers, so we can confirm Hopefully, we should have very clear guidance in the next weeks, and for the good or for the bad, hopefully for the good. But we have been working on this, and it's the same project we have been announcing before. Regarding
the 2,000 still.
Yes.
Okay.
Is the 2,000?
The towers.
Yes. And regarding UK, and I think this is coming from a release of this morning. UK is one of the most dynamic markets in Europe, no? And I think that we all follow in detail what's going on in terms of antitrust, in terms of different towering companies that somehow could change the landscape in the next months. But this does not mean, in terms of being dynamic, this does not mean that we are not looking on other opportunities, no, in continental Europe. So we keep an eye on it. Obviously, INWIT fools everything. It's the first question you have made, which makes sense. It's a transformational deal for us, but do not hesitate that we are looking also the opportunities in Europe, being the UK also an interesting market for us. And your second question was a payment, but I couldn't follow, so sorry.
No, my second question was regarding the payment you mentioned in the presentation that you made to Telefonic in January regarding the towers that you acquired last year. I was wondering if you could be precise of that amount.
Yes, hi Pedro, this is Juan. As you know, the total amount linked to that transaction was $42 million. The payment was agreed into tranches. $22 million were paid in 2015, and the second has been paid in January 2016. So no more payments due into that transaction.
Okay, so it was $2 million, you mentioned? How much was it?
It was
22.
44 divided in two installments.
Okay, 22, okay. Thank you.
Next question comes from Andy Cobbs from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, thanks very much. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the cash advances you've paid, when can we expect that to result in OPEX saving, and can you please give any color in terms of what size we can expect? And then secondly, in terms of your new POPs, can you give a split? How much is MNOs and what are other customers essentially? And also if you could give a little bit more color on your framework agreement, which market it is in, and maybe if you can say anything in terms of time frame and size as well. Thanks very much.
Fine. Yeah. I will ask number one and number three, and maybe Juanjo can help us in number two. The cash advance, as you know, belongs to our efficiency program, and that was announced in 2015 results. And I think that the program is working very well, and all the investments in these 6 million euros of cash advance that we have executed during this term are following the main criteria that we have, which is, roughly speaking, at least an unlevered IRR of low double digit. Let me be cautious in this topic because we are in the middle of conversations with several landlords in both countries, and we have to be here very prudent. But it's working well. It's working with attractive paybacks, and I think it's a measure that has an important impact on one of the most important cost lines of our company. Regarding the framework agreements, as you can read in page number 5 of our presentation, we are working with different MNOs in framework agreements. Roughly speaking, is to coverage extension, in both countries, in Spain and also in Italy. At the end of the day, it seems that the rollout of 4G requires tower, requires good positioning, and these new framework agreements that we try to also keep the name of the client and the country for us, let me say that we'll come up as POPs, organic POPs, in the next quarters. We are very happy with this 1% growth of POPs in this quarter, and we do think that this is a good trend that will be supported by these agreements. And also, Juanjo, I think your question number two is the position that I need to answer.
Yes, on the split of POPs. I would say in Spain, the majority of POPs come from traditional MNOs, maybe 70%, with the rest coming from non-traditional operators, such as mobile broadband operators. And similar situation in Italy, with 50% coming from traditional MNOs and 50% coming from wireless broadband operators.
Thank you. Is that about the same split as you've seen in previous quarters, or is that changing at all? Thank you.
Very similar.
Very similar, yes.
Great. Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Next question comes from Mark Murphy from Macquarie. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Yeah, thanks for the question. It's Mark Murphy from Macquarie. I just wanted to ask you on your decommissioning number. I know there's kind of been a question on this already, but it seems to be quite low at just two sites in the first quarter. And I was wondering, you know, could you kind of give us a reason for that and maybe also an update on how the 5,000 target lease renegotiations, how that is progressing? Because I know decommissioning and lease renegotiations tend to kind of happen together in some respects. And then also just a short kind of question on your average revenue per site. Seems to have increased up to 27,000. I was wondering, you know, what's driving that in particular? Is it Italy or Spain? And, do we see further growth here? Or is that a kind of run rate that you see for a couple of years? Thank you.
No, thank you for the question. The third question is, you know that we have finished our last decommissioning program, and now we have to engage in a new decommissioning program. In the meantime, the organic growth, the only source of organic growth is the normal POP growth of the market. So this is what we can say, no?
Yes, Mark, let me clarify that all the decommissioning we've been doing so far has to do with own towers. So you know that we've been acquiring towers mostly in Spain from Telefónica and Yoigo, and we knew beforehand that some of them needed to be dismantled. And this is what we've been doing for several years, and that process is almost closed. Now what we want to do is to decommission third-party towers. And so the economics are not focused on cost reduction because of having redundant network, but on attracting new tenants on our site by decommissioning towers owned by third-party operators.
And regarding your second question, which is the revenue mix, well, you have to. I don't know exactly what you are comparing when you talk about this 26 or 27 exactly. But if you compare with last quarter 2015, which can be the data you are following here, be aware, or you are comparing the full year 2015. You have to be aware that in year 2015 we acquired the towers of Wind, the Galata project, as of, well, at the end of March 2015. So there can be here a small mismatch in the average because of M&A. So in general, I would say to you that if this mismatch is this gap is not considered, it should be more aligned. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Next question comes from James Ratzer from New Street Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. I had two questions, please. The first one was, again, just kind of slightly following up on the points of presence growth, which looks encouraging. I was wondering if you could help to give us some thoughts over how you see the tenancy ratio being able to grow over the next 2 years. You know, how much above 2 can that get to in Spain, over what time frame? I mean, it does sound encouraging what you're doing with some of the fixed wireless providers as well, so it'd be helpful to get some more color on how you see that over the next few years. And then the second question is on M&A. In the hypothetical situation that you're unsuccessful with the INWIT transaction, could you see a scenario in Italy where you actually might consider selling towers as a way of extracting more value from your existing portfolio? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let me start by the second question. I think selling towers is something that right now we do not consider. I think that we have a portfolio that we have to expand, and it makes more sense to complete and to consolidate the country in Italy rather than selling it down. I think that the Italian towers have value and they belong to a network that covers the whole country. And if we can somehow be competitive in the INWIT process, it's because we have a very good positioning in the country. If we lose this positioning, we are making money in the short term, but in the long term we are losing value. So it's so far is not the base case scenario. Regarding the tenancy ratio, which is your first question, I will say to you that we have been quiet here in maybe on other occasions. The organic growth we saw last year, 8%, is very high. I would say that in a normal scenario, between 3 or 4% growth in number of POPs makes sense, and then this will drive up our tenancy ratios step by step. But we do think also that on top of this, we may have this decommissioning effect, and this could somehow increase further, no? Our tenancy ratio. But these two components, the normal organic growth, 3%, 4% in a year, and the commission in effect on top of these 3 or 4%.
Great, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my three questions. The first one is related with with the coverage extension plans that you are announcing. In that sense, I would like to know at which extent the recently announced extension plan by Yoigo, talking about almost doubling the size of its network, could be one of the drivers for this organic growth. Just to see if your current portfolio of towers in Spain could be also of the interest of Yoigo for this expansion. The second question is related with the build-to-suit driver in number of towers, particularly in Italy. In that sense, recalling the 400 towers that you have agreed with Wind, we are not seeing yet delivery on that build-to-suit driver. I would like to know what are the reasons behind, or if it's something that should be accelerating or starting in coming quarters. And finally, my latest question is related with rationalization deals. And in that sense, I would like to know how or what are the key concerns that you're receiving from your potential partners for these rationalization deals in order to reach a deal, and what are the solutions that you are providing. For example, is the impact in the coverage or the potential short-term breakages in the coverage that they are feeling or concerning on these rationalization deals. I would like to know what are these hurdles and at which extent, if any, and at which extent are you trying to mitigate these concerns from the partners.
Thank you, Fernando. Well, regarding let's start by the third question. The rationalization deals are deals that take time. And take time because this is I would say, a value-added service that, as you were suggesting, have different implications from the technological angle, from there are different things that have to be assessed. It takes time to give comfort to the client. No? It takes time. But I think that the main concern is that these kind of transactions are somehow new, and we are opening the market. And then everyone in our clients would like to have a view on the deal and to have their own point of view. We fully respect and we thank the opportunity that our clients give us in order to do this rationalization project. And at the same time, we have to follow their own concerns and their own decision-making process, no? Which is not, many times, it takes time, and this is not something customary that you do it from one day to the other. So this is the third question. The first question, you were talking about Yoigo. Yoigo, you know that it is true. They have a very ambitious plan of coverage, the 4G, you know, in Spain, obviously, we have a close relationship with Yoigo, and I think that somehow we should be very well positioned to capture part of the growth coming from these and other clients that have to extend their coverage. And finally, the build-to-suit in Italy, you are right, and somehow we are now localizing, so assessing different locations in order to build up the towers. And I think in the next couple quarters you will see that these 400 towers step by step are coming. And Fernando, this is something clear. The company is running well and without maybe implementing yet the contractualized business we have already that will come in the next quarter. So, I mean, good performance without contractualized business that will come for sure.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from Luigi Minerva from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions about your M&A strategy. The first on the UK, your CEO defined the market as a very dynamic one. I was wondering if you can tell us, you know, under what option your potential in the UK would be better if there is a merger between Hutchison and Telefonica, or if there is no merger, you know, which scenario would be preferable from your business point of view. And my second question is on Italy, and I was wondering if it was instrumental to improve your presence on the telco side to acquire acquire the broadcasting side. Would you consider that? Thank you.
Luigi, thank you for your questions. The second question, the broadcasting towers, as we said in the roadshow presentation, and you can even read in our IOM, we say that the broadcasting towers is not an aim per se. Maybe it's a mean to obtain something else which means more telecom rental. But it's not our priority. Our priority is more focused on acquiring telecom rental towers. Regarding the UK, this is a question that has been somehow raised before. We do think that we tend to not to comment concrete or specific transactions in the UK, but we do think that it's a very attractive market in terms of towering, and some movement should take place in the next quarters. But again, I wouldn't like to somehow forget other markets like France, in which also there will be some assets coming into the market in the next quarters. Germany today, we saw that even Telxius were somehow doing intercompany transaction. So we keep an eye open not only on what is public, which is Italy, but also on other countries around continental Europe.
And okay. Thanks a lot.
Next question comes from Domenico Gilotti from Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first is related to your ground lease renegotiation. You are already paying some cash advances. I would like to understand when should we see the improvements or the impact on the ground leases from these cash advances. Is it just immediate, the following quarter, or is it taking longer? The second question is on your comment for the 3-4% underlying organic growth in POPs. This is quite sustainable over the medium term. Do you think that this can be different in case of Telxius listed and so competing basically for the same organic growth?
Okay, thank you very much for your questions, Domenico. The cash advances, and it's clear we are just investing in these 6 million euros. So step by step, we should present to you the evolution of these cash advances. So for sure, in Q3 and Q4, you will be able already to realize that there has been a positive impact. Let's say, to be prudent, at the 2016 results, you will see good numbers. And regarding the competition of Telxius and other partners in other potential towering companies in Europe, it is true, and this is something that it is happening also in Italy, that competition is defined by the number of suppliers, no, and demand. But in this case, also, I would like to highlight the neutrality option. So being neutral has also a plus in the market. And I think that this can have an impact, obviously, Telxius on our organic growth. But somehow we feel confident that our neutral position will help us to somehow mitigate or decrease the negative effect.
Additionally, Domenico, in this specific case, I would like to highlight that the way we've been creating our portfolio in Spain has been precisely acquiring towers from Telefonica. So I would say the overlap between the two networks is very limited. So we still believe we have a unique positioning in Spain. Also, our current portfolio is the result of a very strict due diligence. We made sure that our towers were attractive commercially, so that is still our belief.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Ignacio Arce from Fidentiis Equities. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I would like to ask two different questions, if possible, please. With regards to the potential agreement with some MNOs to expand the mobile coverage, does this refer to a construction of new towers or just to bring in further tenants into your sites? And the second question is if what is the cost-cutting amount that you could expect from that efficiency plan that you are implementing per year? When would we see the full amount bring in into your financials, please?
Yes. Okay. No, the your first question was regarding the MNOs. Is, broadly speaking, is a POP's coverage, no? And this can be MNOs, as Juanjo was explaining regarding the Q1 results, or this can be new companies, Wi-Fi white mask companies.
In any case, Ignacio, we are talking about adding more tenants to our existing towers.
Yes, exactly. This is the call. And regarding the cost-cutting program, and this, I have to come back to 2015 results, in which we gave very clear guidelines of what we expect from this program in the period 2016-2019. And let me answer this question when we have a little bit more of track record, no? Because right now the only thing I can tell you is that everything is working very well, and at least it's working as expected. But let me gain a little bit more of cues in order to give you more clear guidance. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mark Murphy from Macquarie. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there again. Yeah, sorry, just one more question on coming back to the Inwit transaction. I was wondering if you had any view on the change of management at Telecom Italia, and given that you've had a little bit of feedback, I think, is what you said at the start of the call on the bidding process. Does that change of management and obviously the influence within the shareholder base, does that change the objective of Telecom Italia with respect to the ownership of Inwit, and does it change the framework of the bid, you know, from their perspective? Are they looking for different aspects within a bid from before? If you could share something on that, that'd be really great. And just also a smaller additional question, is there any update on your backhauling of sites, so the fibre backhauling? Have you had much interaction with MNOs on that? Yes.
Yeah, backhauling, I think we are also doing progress here, and step by step, and this is also a very interesting organic growth line that at some point we should present to you. It will take a little bit more time, but we are happy with the progress, so let's leave it there. And regarding the Inwit and Telecom Italia new management, well, listen, I'm not the best position person to answer this question, but I assume that as in any other company, when there is a change of CEO, the new CEO wants to take a little bit of time to rethink everything, to reassess different ways, different mechanisms, or maybe the next steps, or just to go into details, which is the most usual thing that can happen in this kind of big companies, no, of 14, 15 billion euros market cap. So I'm pretty sure that at the end of the day, and the logic will prevail, and I'm pretty sure that as rational decision makers, previous and current management will make decisions that increase the share value of the shareholders of Telecom Italia. And from this angle, and this professional angle, I'm pretty sure that Telnex is the best position to offer the best offer, not only for Telecom Italia, but also for every single minority in Inwit that would like to have the same opportunities. And this is the Telnex offer, open, clear, and I will say to you that challenging, no, in terms of price, in terms of contract, in terms of it's is good for everyone. It's a win-win agreement for everyone.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Welcome.
There are no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Since we have no more questions, we can then conclude this session. I would like to thank you for your participation and your time. And as always, if more questions arise, we'll remain at your disposal.